Welcome to the Coffee with Karen podcast, a weekly chat show discussing everything from holistic health to current affairs from a mental, physical, and spiritual perspective. Get your weekly cup of positivity with a sprinkling of woo-woo.
And we are live. So welcome to a Coffee with Karen, cup of positivity with just a sprinkling of woo-woo. Now, we've had quite a lot of woo-woo recently, so we're going to bring it in a bit and going more with the physical, I suppose, today, physical and mental. Your host, my name's Karen Roberts. I consider myself a holistic transformation coach. I help other coaches, healers, get their business online and finally get paid their worth. That is my focus. I do come from the fitness industry. I never taught Pilates though. So didn't go down that route. Taught body balance, that was about it. But after 25 years in the industry, I decided to leave. And I suppose my calling now is to inspire other people from the industry, because I do think the pay is terrible. Unless you set up by yourself. So that's what I'm here for. So each week my guests tend to be in that holistic arena in some form or other, whether they're helping the mental, the physical, or the spiritual perspective, or any combination of all three. So this week, well, I'm going to allow you to introduce yourself. If you would like to share with the listeners a little bit about who you are, what you do, and share a bit of your story, please.
Okay, thank you, Karen. Thank you for inviting me on. It's lovely to chat with you today. So I'm Gila Archer, and what can I tell you about myself? I'm a mum of three children, busy mum, and I originally trained as a primary school teacher, in fact, and then I went on to become a Pilates teacher, which you've already touched on about Pilates. And my focus now, and has been over the last 3-4 years, is to help busy women who feel that just exercise is just like another chore on their never-ending to-do list. And one of those things that they just never quite get round to doing. But to help them actually look after their physical self, you know, build strength, improve their flexibility, and just feel better about themselves. And I do that through my own approach, which I call my best approach, BEST, which is best empowered self triangle. And that's because there's three elements to it. And I'll come on to that in a minute. And obviously, one of those elements is Pilates. So I teach community classes and so on as well, but my main focus is helping busy women with this. And I've taught Pilates now for over 20 years, and it's something I've practiced myself. I still practice myself. I was always very active. I was brought up in an active family. You know, we always did things. I did gymnastics. I did dancing. I got to quite high level in both. I competed nationally in sports acrobatics, and so on. And I myself, you know, had always, like I say, always been active. And then there was a point where it stopped. And so I've sort of gone through this myself. And it was when I had children. That's what threw me. because I felt I needed to be their mum. That was my priority, first and foremost. But what I didn't do was then allow any time for me. I did everything for them. That everything for them had to come first. And as I'm sure you and your listeners and everyone will know, it's you do everything for everyone else. You look after everyone else. You sort of, that's in our nature. We nurture, we care for people. And then you think, right, when I've done everything for everyone else, then I can do some exercise. But you never get to the point where you've done everything for everyone else, because there's always something else to do. And so even though I sort of had this background of, you know, being active and doing and knowing how it felt, I then just really struggled when I had children. And for about 4 or 5 years when they were all very little, I really, really struggled. And through my story, I have, and through my own experience, this is how I've developed this approach, which I now use myself and I use with other busy women as well, in terms of making exercising easier.
Right. Love that. I mean, I can relate to that. I mean, I suppose when I had kids, I suppose I was teaching, still teaching. So luckily, you know, back then, I suppose I could put, I suppose I had the best of both worlds, really, because I could put my daughter in the creche, because I'm only going to teach like an hour or maximum 2 hours back to back. So I had a bit of space that was almost like I had a break, even though I was still working, but that was my break. So I was forced into doing the exercise, really, because it was my job, right?
Yeah.
Whereas for a lot of mums, if they're not teaching, it's a different game. And I totally get that, because when I stopped teaching and I wasn't being paid to turn up at that club or that club, all of a sudden, like you say, you find so many other things to do. Well, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. And I had a new job and I really wanted to focus on that. So yes, your own time is it comes last. And I totally agree with that. I mean, I'm sure any women out there that's listening in, come on, be honest. Do you ever get through that list? No.
No.
So it's got to come. And I totally am behind that, because I let myself go because I wasn't finding the time. Because in your head, it's the, I've got to drive there, I've got to do the hour, I might have to have a shower, I've got to drive home. You know, I haven't got the time to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I did the same. Even though when my children were little, I didn't do any exercise. A bit like you just said, I taught my Pilates. So I went and taught Pilates. But that's because you're making that commitment to the people that are coming, whereas you're not making that commitment to you as such. And with the Pilates, I'd demonstrate a few. And I could demonstrate one or two, but if you'd asked me to do much more, it would have been a struggle, you know. And I would walk around the class and help people and so on. So it was a different thing. If I had made that commitment to myself, right, you know, at 6 o'clock I'm going to do an hour of Pilates or something, I don't think so. I would have let other things creep over that boundary, and at that time I wouldn't have protected my time. The only reason I still taught Pilates is I had to be there for other people.
You had to. Accountability.
Yes. Exactly. Yes.
It's massive, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually realised it was quite an eye opener for me, because I'm not going to lie, I sort of realised that, oh, I'm actually quite lazy. You know, there's me all, you know, I teach 20 odd classes a week and I'm so busy. And all of a sudden I found having that accountability taken from me. Well, I made the decision, but all of a sudden, yeah, I was just making up all sorts of excuses. It's terrible. But I realised I was actually being really quite lazy, because I was allowed to be. Whereas, yeah, like you say, it's the accountability that makes you do it.
Absolutely. And even though I got to the point where I was really not liking myself, because I'd get to the end of every day and my stock phrase had become, well, I just haven't had enough time to do anything for me, you know. And my husband would say, well, that's what you say every day. I'm like, yes, but I just haven't got enough time. And I just would keep saying, you know, that was my reason. That was me justifying to myself why I hadn't done anything. Yeah. And even though I knew what to do, because I was a Pilates instructor, I knew what to do. And I was, but when it actually came to me doing it, I struggled. And I did start doing little bits here and there. And so, like, children were playing on the floor, I'd lay on my front and I'd extend through my back and I'd do a spine, you know, and you'd start to move because your body was sort of telling you that's what it needed. And so I did start doing little bits, and I started sort of evolving what I call bite-sized Pilates. So where you don't need an hour. So I would, when I was teaching in the community, I'd get women who would come, they'd do a class, they'd just say at the end, I'd say, how do you find it? They went, oh, I just loved it. It was just what I needed. I feel so much better physically, mentally, it's brilliant. Thank you so much, Gila. And then the next week I wouldn't see them. And I think, what? Why are they not come? Well, they love the class so much, why aren't they here? And then I'd miss them for a few weeks and they come and they say, I'm really sorry, I haven't been able to come, I couldn't get childcare, or maybe they work shifts or whatever. And the thing is, as you all know, Karen, with fitness, you're only going to build strength and improve if you do something regularly, consistently. Just doing something every now and then, yeah, it all helps. Of course it does. But it's not going to build up. You're not going to build
strength. Momentum behind it.
Yeah, it doesn't work like that. And it was then that I started thinking, you know what? If you don't have to do, we sort of have this belief that you have to do an hour of exercise.
Yeah. Where did it come from, do you think?
Well, all I can think is it's because when you book a hall,
yeah,
it's convenient to book a hall for an hour. Or like if you've got a studio setting, you just go, right, yeah, we'll organise it on the hour because that's simpler. But, and I suppose if you did 20 minutes, it's a long, you know, people think, well, hold on, I've got to travel half an hour to get to do 20 minutes and then go back again. So I was finding, you know, if you go out to a class, you've got to find childcare, possibly, or move work around. You've got to travel there. You've got to find a parking space. You've got to remember your mats and everything. Like you said, you might want to have, if you're in a gym or something, have a shower after. You've got to travel back. You could be talking 2 hours.
Yeah. And they might not have the class that you want on the timetable at the time you can do it. That's what I was finding.
Yeah, absolutely. And so the thing with Pilates, you don't need any expensive equipment. You don't need much space. You can just use a mat, or you can even do it on the carpet. You've got carpet at home, just enough space for you, your body. And you can do it in small bite-sized chunks, and you can do little and often. And actually that is more beneficial. And there's research now that shows actually doing little and often is more beneficial than just doing a one-off high intensity thing every now and then or once
100%.
A week. Yeah. And you keep your body moving, because we're so many of us now have sedentary jobs and lifestyle that we need to build this movement into our everyday lives. So the bite-sized Pilates is something I started without obviously calling it that or anything. I just started doing little bits during the day. However, I still was very good at talking myself out of it. And so, because as humans, we haven't evolved to exercise. We're not meant to exercise. Movement is meant to just be part of our natural. You don't look in the natural kingdom, you know, in nature, and you don't see all the lions and all that going to the gym and, you know, doing a workout, lifting weights. No other species moves for movement's sake. They just move to survive, move to live, move because, you know, they need to hunt or they need to, you know, protect themselves, whatever it is. And then the rest of the time they conserve energy.
Mm.
And so, like you were saying, oh, you know, I feel lazy or whatever. You know, anyone listening, if you're one of those people, just go, you know what? There's the sofa there and there's a glass of wine or whatever. That's far more appealing than actually doing anything. In actual fact, there's nothing wrong. That's our natural instinct, is to sit down and conserve energy.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not getting the natural movement in our days anymore.
That's right.
So we need to incorporate it. We don't have to go and do an hour and get hot and sweaty and all of this. We just need to incorporate movement through the day. This is where I feel my approach works really well with busy women.
Oh, it's perfect. It's actually, it's brilliant. And I do think, I mean, I know a lot of people have probably changed their habits because of what's gone on in the last 2 years. And they've realised that, oh, actually, maybe don't have to do this, but you're absolutely right. There's been lots of research that will show, I don't know, a city worker that sat behind the computer all day and then goes and does a 30-minute HIIT workout, and high intensity interval training, and they are less healthy, less fit than, say, a waitress who's just been walking around all day, but she's been on her feet. There's massive, because we're not designed to sit, you know, and this is what, I came online and I'm sat in this chair online. Yes. It's not healthy. We're not designed to sit here for too long, are we?
No, you're absolutely right. Our spines were not made for sitting. They don't like sitting. It's a bit like sugar for our teeth. It's not good. And, you know, it's about, yeah, so you're more likely to injure yourself, actually, by doing a one-off HIIT session where you just throw yourself into it than actually doing something regularly. That's one of the really good things about Pilates, is it focuses on rebalancing your posture, addressing any weaknesses and so on. So that's what, when you're sat all day or sat for your job, you know, or whatever, we get stuck, our spine gets compressed, our hip flexors get weak and tight. You know, we're not using our legs at all. Our posture goes, we become hunched over, or we're looking at our phone all the time and our head's looking down and your neck aches and you get a headache and all of these things. Well, Pilates, I mean, Joseph Pilates was ahead of his time, because he wrote and, you know, created all of these exercises, which obviously we've adapted a little bit now from modern day life. But he did this back in the 1940s, you know, and he could see it happening then. Goodness knows what he'd think of it, all the technology now, and doing things. But it helps to strengthen your core postural muscles, helps you sit up better, helps you breathe better, helps you focus and concentrate better. And actually, if you take 20 minutes away from your computer and you do some Pilates and you do a spine twist, you do a roll down, you loosen up through the spine, you breathe, whatever, actually, when you come back to the computer, you'll be far more productive than you were before.
Right. So it's not just about strengthening muscles, is it? So I think people can have a slightly disjointed perception of what this is all about. And, you know, core strength is everything. Yep. You know, everyone focuses on the other muscles, but actually, if you haven't got a strong core, and you know, I have to say that I noticed this as my dad got older, he would struggle to even sit up, because it's the core that has gone. Yep. And if people really, you know, it's all about quality of life. As we get older, our muscles will atrophy, and it's the most important thing. And I think people just think, oh, it's just sit up. No, it's the whole of your core and your back, the whole of the midsection is the most important thing. So I do think Pilates has been totally misunderstood.
Yeah.
And as we get older, you know, people think, oh, they've got to spend loads of time on the treadmill. Get off the treadmill.
Yes.
You really don't need it.
No. Yeah. And your core, you're right. This word is banded around a lot, isn't it? Or your core strength, core whatever. Your core is made up of lots of muscles. It is not just a six-pack. It's not just your abdominals. It's your deep abdominal muscles. There's a muscle called your transversus abdominis, which does exactly what it says on the tin. It traverses your abdominals. It wraps around you like a personal corset. And that's it's connected to your spine through fascia, connected to your rib cage, everything. And your core is the extensor muscles through your spine, these deep abdominal muscles, your waist muscles, your obliques, your pelvic floor, and your diaphragm. And this is what Pilates would say, it's like a box of strength in your center. And it is about, you're right, you need that core strength to do anything else. And I could go on and talk about a whole sort of another related subject here in what I did a lot of work as a primary school teacher with children who have poor coordination, and their handwriting was poor. They struggled with controlling their fine motor skills, and it all came back to their core strength, because they struggled to sit up and hold themselves.
That's only going to get worse. I come from the sports injuries and arena for 27 years, and what we were starting to find was actually the children because they've been on their phones or whatever and not being like we would have done in our childhood, climbing, well, I don't know about you, but I was climbing trees and on the, you know, in the play. And so we naturally, without doing a workout, we were naturally strengthening our core. And it was something that I hadn't thought about either. And it was only when, you know, people coming, children were coming with backache. You know, you're not supposed to get backache when you're a child. And it was because they didn't have a strong core. So I think you're going to be a bit busy moving forward, Gila, because everybody, and not just the adults, but even the children are going to need this just for general, you know, forget the rest of it, just for general health and well-being. It's a vital component.
That's right. And it's this natural movement that has been lost from our lives. And it's the Pilates that helps replace that natural movement, because it's all about functional movement. It was about being able to move efficiently and effectively and gracefully and so on. And to do that, you need a strong core. But children, it's scary. When I first started teaching over 20 years ago, you could sort of, there'd be like one child in every couple of classes where you thought, yeah, they haven't got the core strength, they're struggling with their hand reading, you know, tracking words across a page, their self-esteem. It had a knock-on effect to all sorts of things. And then when I did some consultancy work as a freelance consultant with physical development and so on, going into nurseries and early years settings, and you just saw more and more children that were having a delay in key milestones, like being able to sit up, you know, like at 8 months or whatever, being able to crawl, being able to hop on one leg, because they're not doing these things in their natural environment.
Yeah. Well, the schools took it out of the system, didn't they? They classed it as not the important thing. And I think that's where it all started to go terribly wrong.
Yes. Yeah.
Because it wasn't given the important, oh, they've got to study that, but they weren't thinking big picture. And actually, well, if you're not a healthy body, and as you said earlier, it's not just about that. It's about thinking clearly and having the energy. And everybody's been labelled with ADHD. It's because they weren't running around in the playground enough and using up the energy. I mean, it's so crazy to think that that's been going on for the last, well, I don't know how many years now.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, one of the things I did when I was teaching was if children struggled with their handwriting and things like that, there was no point practicing more handwriting. That wasn't the problem. That was the symptom. The cause was that they hadn't got that core strength. So I actually did physical literacy intervention programs with schools and got children doing moves that actually, if you look at them and you do Pilates, you'll see the you'll see that it's Pilates based movements with the children, obviously made a bit more fun and, you know, imaginative and so on, but getting them to do that, because it is so, so important as children, as we grow up, and then, as you touched on, as we get older as well, because our, you know, our balance can be affected, our muscle mass is affected, our posture is affected and so on. And if we want to carry on living active, independent lives, we need to maintain our strength and our posture and our balance.
100%. I do think that's it. I can't remember the stats, but I can remember being told years ago that actually with the elderly, it's probably the biggest cause of death, but it's not written down as such, because it could be that they've had a fall, so they haven't had the core strength or the balance. They've had a fall and then something's happened from that, or they've got pneumonia from that. So what is on the death certificate might be different, but actually go back and the root cause would have been not enough strength and balance, which, you know, it's all going to be linked with Pilates, because in order to balance, you need to have a strong base, that strong core. So to me, it's really everything from children all the way up till, you know, till the elderly. It's really across the board, isn't it?
It is, yes. And the core strength and the balance, I mean, this is something I do a lot of work in my classes with women, is balance. Because although our balance can deteriorate as we get older, it doesn't have to, as long as you keep practicing.
You don't use it, you lose it.
Exactly, yeah. And if you've got that core strength, and you build up your body awareness. So then if you do happen, you're less likely to trip. But if you do trip, you're able to regain your balance more easily. You know, I've got a lady who in my membership who is 76, and she told me that last week she went and walked up Snowdon, and she didn't, you know, there was all, it was rocky paths and all over the place. And, you know, I know she walks a lot and does styles and things. And she said she had no problem, really enjoyed it. And she puts it down to having done Pilates with me over the last 14 years.
I would agree. Absolutely. And like you say, it's not about something that you do one time. I know everyone's looking for that quick fix, but there is no quick fix, but it is the consistency of it. Yeah. I mean, age is, I totally agree. Age is just a number. I see people age when they stop. I've noticed it in myself. Look, I'm not quite elderly yet, but you know, I'm 50 and I have noticed the difference, just not being as agile,
yeah,
as quick. And it really does make you realize how important exercise is. And it's not about what you look like, you know, forget all that. It's not about having, you know, the six pack. I mean, I wouldn't say no to one, but I don't know whether I could be bothered, to be fair. No. I'm past caring.
Yeah, but exactly. But it's not for me. That is similar, Karen, in that it's not really how I look. You know, I've had three children. You know, it's not going to be how I looked when I was 20. But you know what? I feel strong. I feel strong in my centre. I feel, and I can do all those things that I want to do. I still do ballet. I do aerial silks. Ooh. I do, which I took up a couple of years ago, something I'd always wanted to do. And it's Pilates that's enabled me to do that. I go walking with my family. We go out. We do all sorts of things. And I just join in, and I'm not letting, you know, age determine what I can do. I'm, you know, you keep doing it. But going back to the physical benefits of Pilates are huge, but one of the things for me was the mental benefits of it as well, in that often I would get to teaching a class and you know, you just had one of those days, and like especially when I was teaching, and you never know quite what energy levels the kids are, you know, what's going to happen, and it's busy, and it's just like, oh crikey, I've got, you know, mark books to mark and this and that. And get to Pilates and I'd be thinking, oh, I've just got a bit of a headache, I could really do it just going home, and just but I had to be there because I'd made that commitment to them. And the minute I stood in front of the class and I rolled my shoulders back and closed my eyes and took a deep breath, I was there. And then all of a sudden, even though I wasn't even doing half the class, I was old because I was teaching it and walking around, how by the end life just felt so much better. It was like all of a sudden I could cope with everything again. It wasn't overwhelming me. It was, oh, I'd just taken time to stop.
Yes.
Taken time for me. And the biggest thing, it was just the breathing, because Pilates, the breathing is really important. And breathing properly and fully and everything. And just, you know, you sort of just like, just slowing that pace down. And with the Pilates as well, one of the things I like about it is I sort of feel like it's a moving meditation. So yeah, it's because you have to concentrate on engaging your core muscles, holding your body. You have to concentrate perhaps on opposite arm and leg and what you're doing and your breath and everything. And because you're concentrating so much on that, you forget everything else. Everything there else is around your head.
So you're actually also in the present moment.
Yes.
Which is just so important. You're right. I've never thought of it like that before. But yeah, you're right. It is like which is actually in a way, I wouldn't say better or worse. I wouldn't, but it is, because you are conscious with it. So it's like a conscious meditation. Yeah. Yeah. Which ideally is brilliant, because you're bringing all of that into your daily life, rather than meditating and then getting up and getting all stressed and everything. You're getting into the habit of doing it consciously. So yes, yeah. I can see how beneficial that is from that, everything that you've said there, the yes. whole, the, and you even, I could see you even do it as you.
Yeah.
It's that relief.
Yes.
And release.
Yes.
Massive.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So then you're looking at it not just from the physical perspective, you are looking at it from the mental, but also, like it or not, it is, there is the spiritual in there anyway. I'm not talking about religious, I'm talking about the spiritual. So actually, you are focusing on all three of this.
And Joseph Pilates said, so you know, I can't remember the quote exactly, but you know, he called, it wasn't called Pilates, he didn't call it after himself, we've named that, he called it Contrology. It was his system of controlling the body and so on. And he said Contrology is the combination of the mind and body and spirit. And so he talks about that as well. And it is, it's all of those things coming together. And I think therefore as well, the reason of just doing a little bit here and there, it just, like you say, it intersperses into your day and just makes, when we're busy women and we're juggling hundreds of things and you're like, we get so distracted as well in modern day life of, it, you know, an email pings, you get a notification, then a kid shouts and something else happens. Then, you know, it's, you can become mentally exhausted very quickly.
Yeah.
And then everything just feels like too much. I can't cope. And then the last thing you want to do is to think about doing any exercise because you know what? You've just had enough of the day.
Yeah,
but it's not exercise. So it's like, right, let's just cross exercise off your to-do list. You haven't got to exercise. All you need to do is move. Move mindfully, move consciously. Think about your mirrors. Think about when you're waiting for the kettle to boil, stand in a good posture, engage with your core, stand on one leg whilst you're brushing your teeth. You know, you can incorporate, this is why I love plug, you can incorporate it into, you know, almost everything.
Day to life. And that is it. So that it's going to be easier for, because nobody forgets to go to work without brushing their teeth. It's just something that you do automatically. So yeah, the more you can integrate those things with your habitual, so creating a new morning ritual, whatever that ritual is, like you say, some people start with a coffee, some people start with a shower, whatever their morning ritual is, if they can incorporate certain exercises that you're going to teach them, that is going to be the perfect way. So explain to the listeners. So yeah, so maybe people are like feeling a bit of relief now, knowing that they don't have to go and spend loads of money joining a gym and then driving to it and spending an hour. So what do you offer that is, you know, that these people that have just breathed?
Yeah, you just stopped for a second. Just stop, take a breath. It's, you know, everything's okay. So what I offer, I call it core, obviously, and it's my online membership, but I work, like I said, right at the very beginning with my best approach, this best empowered self triangle approach. And it's not just an online library of Pilates workouts, and you're left to it, because there's plenty of those. And I know myself, touching back on my experience, that I could be the best Pilates teacher in the world and you could have access to hundreds and hundreds of Pilates workouts. But unless you have these two other elements of my triangle in place, you're not going to do it. Because it's like sifting through YouTube or whatever. It's just, oh, what workout shall I do? It's another decision to have to make. That takes energy and you talk yourself out of it. Well, you haven't got time. I haven't got time to log on and find a Pilates workout to do. And then I've got to find that. Then I've got all the washing in the way, and then an email's popped up and whatever, and you know what it's like. You just never get to it. So the other two elements are having a positive mindset, that's one, and having powerful habits. And so one of the big things that I do with my members and work with them is a little bit of coaching side as well, to get them to think about sort of their identity and the expectations they have of themselves. So my identity was always, I was busy and I was proud of that identity. I'm busy, and I haven't got time for anything. I haven't got enough time for me, I'm busy. And it's sort of a badge of honor that we often wear that is like, is like, you know, people say, oh, how are you? Oh, I'm good. I'm busy. I'm busy. I'm busy. But actually, is that good for us?
No.
Because, yeah, our brain, it just becomes frazzled. We become mentally exhausted. We're not productive. And then we don't look after ourselves. And you, and also another thing, like I said at the beginning, was I was a giver. You know, I'd look after everyone else first and didn't feel that I was important. You know, I was left to the end. And of course, you never got to look after me. So I talked to my members about their identity. You know, maybe they're a procrastinator and they just procrastinate on, you know, keep putting off the exercise and doing things, or whatever it might be. And we talk about that and the expectations that we have of ourselves and that society has of us as well, in that feeling, because we're a woman, we should be able to do everything. And we should be able to juggle family life and career and work and the household and whatever, and look after ourselves. And, you know, we're not super women. We're not super women, I should say. But we, of course, we are super women. Because, but it's choosing what's important for us. We can do everything, but it doesn't always benefit us. And having these expectations of, well, yeah, well, women can multitask and women can do this and women can do that, you know, or, well, you should exercise. And I wonder how many people listening in have said to themselves, well, I should really do some exercise today. Because I used to say that to myself. Mm-hmm. I should really do. Or I'm going to try and do some exercise today. And a bit like Yoda says, you know, do or do not, there is no try. You're either going to do it or you're not. And by saying try, or oh, I hope to do some exercise, or whatever it is, you're sort of giving yourself a bit of a get out there. Well, I tried. Yeah. And I think for me, one of the big things was that I, by saying to myself, I didn't have enough time to do anything, for me, I was avoiding taking responsibility for my own health and fitness.
100%, and I can totally relate to that. That's exactly what I was doing. It's like almost you're trying to validate your own, well, I'm justifying it. Well, it's because I'm just too busy. Or more often than not, I'm just busy being busy, not necessarily productive.
Yes.
But yes, you're right. It's a subconscious, it's like a get out clause, isn't it?
When I first realized that, someone said to me, a mentor of mine had said, so by saying you haven't got enough time, what are you letting yourself off the hook for? And I was like, nothing. I do everything. I'm doing everything for everyone. And anyway, they kept asking. I suddenly realized I didn't really want to admit it to myself, I don't think. And I was like, actually, and then it hit me like a, you know, someone had thrown a brick at me, you know, it's just like, yeah, I'm not taking responsibility for myself.
Yeah.
And that, then I was like, I made a promise to myself then, which I had, that I would never say to myself, oh, I just haven't got enough time to exercise. It was like, no, I have plenty of time and I'm choosing to do this. It's not something I should do, I have to do. I am choosing to do this. And then it lightens it. It's not such a massive chore then. I'm choosing to do this because it's important to me. It's, you know, one of my values in life is health and fit and looking after myself.
Yeah.
And I'm just as important as everyone else. So all of this mindset stuff, this positive mindset, is a big aspect of my membership. Because, like I say, if people, they can join, but if they keep telling themselves, I'm just too busy, I haven't got the time, I'm not this sort of person, then it doesn't make any difference.
They're not going to do it. They might sign up, but which is why, I mean, at the end of the day, that's what I suppose the gyms rely on, because there's no way that they will be able to cope on a daily basis with the number of members that they have.
Yeah.
They're relying on that fact. They know this,
yes,
that people aren't going to turn up, because they're doing what we both were doing. And yeah, I hold my hands up 100%. I, you know, that's why I said at the beginning, I realize actually I'm a little bit lazy. I thought I was all, you know, I get up at this time and I'm so busy, busy, busy. But actually take that away from me, and no, I was making excuses. Yes. So it really is, it's quite a hard pill to swallow.
Yes.
And there might be people out there going, well, no. And I don't know what you think about this, but what I'd hear a lot is, oh, yeah, but my knee is hurting.
Yeah.
And again, it's the same kind of thing, isn't it? It's actually, well, if you actually did the Pilates, maybe it wouldn't hurt.
Exactly. Absolutely, Karen. And the good thing with Pilates is you can adapt any exercise. So I always say, I can always find you something to do. It's not a problem. I can always change it. And this lady I said to you about, 76-year-old who walked up Snowdon, she actually first joined me, obviously like 10 years ago or whatever. And she then had one knee replacement and was told she would need another one fairly soon. And I adapted all the exercises for her because of her knee. She couldn't kneel down and so on. Anyway, she's never had that other knee replacement. She's never needed it because she's done Pilates since then. And she can now kneel on both knees. She's got full range of movement in her knee and everything. And that's from just doing it all the time. And she said, a lot of my members as well, had said they feel stronger now doing the bite-sized Pilates little and often than just doing it once a week because they're doing it. I had another lady who said she was out with her husband and son building a dry stone wall, rebuilding this dry stone wall. And she's almost 70, I think. And she was lifting these, stone slabs and everything. And they kept complaining that their backs were aching. And she was like, and she said at the end of the day, she went in and did her Pilates. Next morning, up, ready to go again. And her husband and her son are like, oh, I can't do any more today. She's like, come on, what's the problem? That's because she's done Pilates for years with him before and she does it regularly. But one of the other things I'd like to touch on is this. So we've got your positive mindset. We've got the bite-sized Pilates, but the third aspect is also having these powerful habits. And this is something that's really helped me and helped my clients as well. And we talk about a whole range of these different things in the membership. But one thing that I think really helps busy women or help people who are listening is to have a plan. So don't just say, well, I'm going to try and do some exercise today and let it just roll on and on and on to the end of the day. Because by the end of the day, time runs out. You know, you're feeling tired. You think, oh, I haven't got any energy, whatever. Find a time and write it down like you've got an appointment with the dentist or you've got an appointment for a meeting. You have an appointment with yourself and at 10 o'clock on a Monday morning is when you do Pilates, for example. And that is non-negotiable, except, and I'll come on to that in a minute, but you don't just go, well, I'll just answer these emails first. Or, you know, 10 o'clock, no, that's when I do Pilates.
And how long are these bite-sized chunks?
About 20 minutes.
Right. Yes, so everybody could find, if they're honest,
yes,
no matter how busy you are, you could either set your alarm 20 minutes sounds like a lot less pressure, doesn't it, than an hour?
Absolutely. It's far easier to find 20 minutes of uninterrupted time than it is an hour.
And are you suggesting they do 20 minutes in the morning? And is it more or is it that just once a day?
You just do it once a day. I have different levels in my membership. So some women like to do more, that's fine. Or they get on a roll and actually once you're in the zone, you're like, actually, you know, I'm just going to do another one and that's fine. But some people do it once, you know, one a day.
Oh, enough, yeah, that's enough. Everybody, if they're honest with themselves, can always book in a 20-minute slot.
I bet if you stop scrolling, this is what catches me out, scrolling on social media, before you know it, 20 minutes has gone, hasn't it? And you've gone down some rabbit hole. And actually, if you didn't do that, and like I say, if you've got it planned in, right, I've got 20 minutes, I'm planning this in, you could even allow yourself half an hour. So 10 till half 10 is when I do my Pilates. So there's a few things here that I'd like to mention. So you have your plan A, but then for busy women, what is really useful is to have a plan B. And sometimes you need a plan C as well, because sometimes your kids are off poorly from school, or sometimes, you know, for the best will in the world, life just throws you a curveball. And so you go, okay, so I'm going to do it at 10 o'clock. However, if I can't do it, then you have a plan B. So if my child is poorly off school and they need a cuddle or whatever they need looking after, I will do it when they're in bed or when my husband's in from work, or whatever your situation is. If something else happens, you know, then I'm going to do it then. So you have a plan B. So it doesn't just get dropped or lost and then you're left feeling, oh, I really wanted to do it, but, you know, this happened. So you have that plan and you write it down and have, like we said right at the beginning, talk to your family, talk to anyone who can help you, hold you accountable to that. So I've even sometimes stuck notes on my bedroom door and closed the door and said, you know, to my children, I'm doing Pilates. If you've got any questions, the answer's no, or go and think for yourself or whatever. You know, if you want a snack, it's no. That's normally the question I get. Can I have a snack now? You know, give me 20 minutes. Just, you know, communicate with the people you're with. Get them to help you. And I, with my members as well, hold them accountable. You know, I'll give them a nudge if I need to or whatever, in a nice way. And so that's one thing. Another thing that we talk about is thinking about where you're going to do it. Because if you are doing it amongst the toys or the washing or with your computer on and the emails, you know, notifications flicking up or whatever it is, it's harder to concentrate. So we talk about having a success space, a little space that's yours. And you can sometimes it could just be down the side of your bed or something. You don't need a massive space, but where you can just maybe have a candle or a plant or a nice picture or just something that's, so you can actually, you get to the point where you look forward to doing it because that's your little time and you can really indulge in that little time.
Love that. Brilliant.
So it's thinking about when you're going to do it, where you're going to do it, who's going to hold you accountable. So we talk about that. And obviously there's lots of other tools and strategies and things I go through, but I thought that would be a useful thing to mention. There's something that listeners could start to put in place themselves and start to think about.
Fantastic. Because, yeah, everybody could do 20 minutes. It's not so, even, you know, hearing that, you know, it's, oh, okay, 20 minutes, like you say, the time goes by very, very quickly. And so it's starting these, it's the little and often that is going to get you there. So for the list, I mean, depending on if you're watching us on YouTube or the blog or just listening on the radio. So people who are just listening on the radio or just listening on the podcast, so don't have access to all your links. How do they sign up? How do they find you?
Okay. My website is GilaArcherPilates.com. So Gila is spelled G-I-L-A, ArcherPilates.com. You can find me there. I do have a YouTube channel under the same name as well. So Gila Archer Pilates. And if you wanted to try some little bite-sized sessions, there are some on there as well. Obviously you don't get my support and, you know, and everything else on there, but you get the, you, if you wanted to look me up and try one, then they're there.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and so mainly, and I'm on Facebook as well, again same name, Gila Archer Pilates. So you can just, you can find me and then you know, connect with me, and then I, you know, I can share things with you then.
Fantastic. And what has been, I bet, have you noticed, even with your clients, and I know you're still teaching, but what do people think about the difference between going and doing a full hour, like you say, might be once a week or twice a week, as to okay I've got to do it on my own, I've got to log into Gila and I've got to prep my 20 minutes, but have you seen a difference between sort of the two different ways?
Yeah, I mean, after lockdown, things started opening up. I actually said to my members on call online, I let you know, here are my classes. Some of them are local to me. If you want to come back to the class, you're more than welcome. They're here. And all of them, 100%, said, no, we're staying online with you.
Because wow.
it, actually works better for me, and I'm actually doing more Pilates now, and I feel stronger and better about myself than I did before.
Brilliant.
Now, I'm not saying there isn't a place for classes. Some people like a class, and especially say if you're just starting out, it's quite nice to have some more feed, you know, some more.
Yes, you can be corrected
and so on. I mean, in the membership, as well as the Pilates workouts, I provide my members with a program each month. So, like I said, they're not having to pick and choose, because what we subconsciously do is always pick our favorite one, which is generally the one we find easiest, which is probably the ones we don't need to worry about doing as much.
Absolutely.
So I have a program where they follow it. So they have a full all round. So by the end of the week, you've had a full body workout, you know, of everything. And they follow the program. And I also do a live online class during each month, where I can see them and I can give them tweaks and everything. So they do get that support. I don't know, but I know online isn't for everyone, you know, so I think there's a place for both. But I just know a lot of people, all my members have just said how much easier it is, how, because they've been able to be consistent, because they've been able to be regular, it's sustainable. It's not like a full in, you know, like, right, I'm just going to do this. I've got to overhaul my life. I've got to change everything for 2 weeks. And then after that, it's just, oh, I can't keep doing this anymore.
Yes. Because life gets in the way. And like you say, when you're committing to a specific time, you know, whereas you can choose that 20 minutes throughout your day, it does make so much sense. And I suppose that is where we've been forced into doing that. And because I always did think, oh, this will be interesting to see what comes out of this.
I mean, generally it is very, very positive. And so many women just say, you know what, before they like, I do a live monthly mindset thing as well, where we talk about the habits and the mindset, and they love those sessions. We sometimes have guest speakers in who talk about areas which aren't necessarily my expertise, like nutrition on things like that. And we had someone talk about, you know, the power of your words and what you say to yourself. All of these things is fascinating. I love it. And it's, so you're getting more than just the class. You're getting that support from me. And people can say, look, Gil, I did this. It's not quite right. I'll adapt it. I'm there for you. So you've got, and I think sometimes we feel as women, we've got to be able to do everything on our own. We've got to be superwoman and we've got to just be able to do it all. But it's nothing wrong. And you haven't failed in any way by just saying, hey, you know what? I have lots to do in my life. If someone can just help me with this, why not? One client, she said, Gila, should I have so many decisions to make in my life that just the fact that you've done it all for me, it's what I just don't have to think about. Shit, it's so nice. I think that's
massive. And I think that's possibly why more women statistically, not all the time, but more women would go to do classes. And it's interesting, like, I mean, I taught all sorts of things and I probably ruined step back in the day because my head, I used to think they must be bored. So I've got to make this actually more complicated each week. Whereas actually, no, the opposite was true. They liked that. Like you just said, so many decisions, so many things to think about. I want to just come and not really have to think too much and just do. And and that is quite an interesting concept, because I would agree that I think the majority of people are thinking the same way when they have just, I don't know, a library of a load of, again, too many options. It's like going to a restaurant and there's too much to choose for. I just want to just go from, you know, just have those options and it's simpler. We do, like you said right at the beginning, our bodies are always looking to conserve energy in some way, shape or form. So if the busier they are, yes, they just want you to tell them what to do.
Exactly.
I mean, we do. We think we want all this freedom, whereas actually, no, we like to be told exactly what to do.
Exactly. And I think we're very good at making, I know I've always been very good at making my lives more complicated than it needs to be. And it's just like, you know what? It doesn't need to be complicated. It doesn't need, let's keep it simple. We're doing this. We're doing 20 minutes a day. And if you miss a day, it's not the end of the world. It doesn't matter. Let's not go giving ourselves guilt trips and whatever. It doesn't matter. Just pick up the next day. It's fine. And you know, 20 minutes a day, I'll tell you which ones to do. There's no thinking. There's none of that mental energy. You know, you can just focus on you and concentrate on you. And I mean, I go through all of this, a touch a bit more on my story and the work I've done with children and my approach and everything in a book I've written as well, which should be available by the time this airs. It should be available to pre-order, if not actually published. And it's called Enjoy Moving and Feel Fabulous. It's a Pilates lifestyle, you know, for busy women. And I think that's sort of sums up everything we've been talking about, because it is about just enjoy it. It's not a chore. Just enjoy moving your body and that feeling for you, because you do feel better afterwards. You get those natural endorphin chemicals, you know, those feel good chemicals racing around your body, which last then all day. But also you're getting all those long-term benefits as well of knowing that you're staying strong and healthy and active as you get older.
Absolutely. I mean, it really is an all round. And I think that a lot of people may have misunderstood a lot of what Pilates is all about. And I think that's brilliant that the bite size, love it. And you're right that it has probably just stemmed from making it easy for somebody else rather than actually what is best for me.
Yes.
I think for a lot of women out there, that probably sounds like quite a good approach.
Yeah, well, and that's all it is. There's nothing wrong with us. You think, oh, look at all these other women, and they're, you know, we compare ourselves, don't we? Which is not a good benefit for us. But oh, they seem to be doing exercise and keeping fit and doing all of this and the other. Well, you know, it's not because there's anything wrong with it. We just sometimes need a different approach and a different perspective on things, and an approach that works for us, you know, rather than just sticking to the same way that it's always been done. Why do that if it's not working for you?
Yeah. That's what seems to have come out of that, I suppose. It is and you're right there. It's just always been done. Yep. And until sometimes we are forced to stop and then maybe actually step back and actually look at it and think, there is a better way. So there is a better way. So I love that. So your online program, so people can come to find you. So it's GilaArcherPilates.com.
Yes.
If you want to have a slightly different approach that you're not going to get elsewhere, you're not going to get in your local gym, and look at how much you're going to, you know, even save there. Save time and money, because you don't have to actually do all of that and take so much time out of your day. You can fit it around your lifestyle with you and your family. So
feel better in yourself as a result.
That's the end game. So there you go. Who doesn't? At the end of the day, every single human being on the planet wants to feel better than they do right now. That's what we are. That's human.
Yeah.
So brilliant. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Gila. It's interesting, isn't it? Pilates is about the only thing that I did. Well, I did do a little bit, so I know that I need to do more. So yes, I think I'm going to definitely take that approach, because sitting here for too long. I have got a little mini trampoline behind this screen.
Oh, good. Yeah, you can do some bouncing and everything and get the circulation going again.
It is. So I totally get that. It's all in the bite-sized chunks. Love that. So
Well, thank you very much for inviting me, Karen. And it's been lovely chatting to you. And if any listeners have got any questions or whatever, just get in touch and let me know.
Fantastic. And your book. So where can people purchase the book?
That will be on Amazon or Waterstones, all major retailers. Anyway.
The name of the book again, once more.
Enjoy Moving and Feel Fabulous, A Pilates Lifestyle for Busy Women.
Brilliant. So for all the busy women out there, get in touch with Gila. There you go. So thank you for your time once again, and to all the listeners out there. Well, you know, I will be back next week with a Coffee with Karen. Bye for now.
Welcome to the Coffee with Karen podcast, a weekly chat show discussing everything from holistic health to current affairs from a mental, physical and spiritual perspective. Get your weekly cup of positivity with a sprinkling of woo-woo.